Welcome to Season 1, Episode 2 of the Dr. Karina Smith Podcast, conversations about yin yoga and Chinese medicine.
As somebody who loves both the worlds of yin yoga and Chinese medicine, that's what this whole platform is for these discussions, I know that feeling of having this great symbiosis between these two kinds of worlds and how exciting it is to speak to one in the other and start to create all these amazing connections. But I would really like to discuss how things can get really tricky when we're trying too hard to make those connections, or when we have limited knowledge of what we're really talking about and we're creating a paradigm in another world that doesn't entirely make sense. So the topic of discussion here is that yin yoga is not Chinese medicine. Yin yoga is amazing, and Chinese medicine is amazing. I mean, I could go down a whole train of thought right now discussing what is actually Chinese medicine these days anyway, because we've got the kinds of Chinese medicine that are taught at institutions, which is what I have been taught, that I am now starting to learn other ways of practicing. And there are the classical aspects of Chinese medicine and the things that have been lost, and whole different schools of thought. So that is a whole entire episode of discussion on its own. And then we've got yin yoga, which definitely is playing in the same playground as Chinese medicine, but they're not the exact same thing. And I think that they do have beautiful intersection, but they're not entirely the same medicine. And the reason that I think this is an important conversation is that when we start to bring medicinal concepts into movement classes, we can start to accidentally confuse people, and sometimes we can overload them with too much information and start to get them thinking in their heads about their bodies and their health, and we can accidentally start to create some anxiety for them. This is something that I've been thinking about for a really long time, and I have spent a lot of time doing my homework. So as a yin yoga teacher, I've spent good time and good dollars traveling to go and study with some of the best. So I've studied with Paul Grilley, and I've studied with Bernie Clark, and I've read Bernie's amazing books, and I have a background in anatomy, and I have a background in movement coming from a dance background. And I've also just graduated from my tertiary education, which is a Bachelor of Health Sciences, majoring in Chinese medicine. I graduated at the end of 2019, so I am very new. I am not a seasoned TCM practitioner. I think those kinds of things just take time, but I do feel like I'm at a place where I've learned enough to be able to hold this conversation, to hold this topic of conversation. Sometimes what I see come up in yin yoga classes is a real enthusiasm for Chinese medicine and a real want to share that information with everybody in the class. But we really need to kind of check, what are we actually dealing with? What is the ballpark of yin yoga and what is the ballpark of Chinese medicine? Because they don't always make sense when we try and fit them together. Chinese medicine is a complete holistic system of health. And the kinds of things that a Chinese medicine practitioner would be offering you if you went for a treatment would be a variety of things. So the practical things would be acupuncture, so the actual tools and skills of using needles and making selections into what particular points are going to be needled, how they're going to be needled, how long they stay in the body. And all of that is very, very subtle alchemy and very, very particular. They might also be a herbalist. So there might be herbs that are being prescribed that are there to help take care of some of the internal manners that are being treated in that particular session. But it's not just that. It's when we kind of look back into these beautiful texts that have been written about managing health and preventing disease, it's everything from breath practices, to the way we eat, to how we move the body, to how we take care of the mind, to meditation practices. So a good way of living was to encompass all of these things. And a Chinese medicine practitioner in a modern day setting is going to be looking at the whole system of the body in consultation to come to a working diagnosis, to then figure out what might be going wrong in the diet, or what can I help to start rebalancing with the acupuncture needles, or what gaps can be filled in with the herbs, or what heat or damp or wind or blood stasis needs to be cleared from the body in order for the body to be functioning better. So they're looking at all of these different treasures. They will be looking at blood. They will be looking at Shen, which is the spirit. They'll be looking at the fluids and the essences of the body as well. So the yin of the body, the fluids of the body, the yang, the warming aspect of the body, the movement of qi. And all of these things together are going to be examined by them in that consultation and probably worked on for a series of treatments. If we then transfer over to thinking about our yin yoga practices, I think the first thing that's really interesting that comes up is that for me, I see yin yoga as being more Indian than Chinese. And I say that because the postures have come from the Hatha Yoga Pradipika. They haven't come from China. But I think because early on people have made these associations between the meridian lines and the yin yoga practices, there's been a nice connection made there. But in actual fact, the postures have come from the Indian yoga that we know and love. We've given the shapes new names, and so they have a different spirit about them, a different quality. I like to use the example of half pigeon versus sleeping swan, which is what we call it in a yin yoga practice. They're sort of different animals, different energies about them, a different kind of posture. I always think of the pigeon as being quite chested and forward and a little bit proud and maybe a little bit sort of stroppy, and versus a swan, which is this beautiful, graceful creature that if was sleeping would just be divine to look at. And it also gives a nice differentiation for people that have come from more of a Sanskrit or a Hatha yoga background. What is different about the yin shapes? I think the name really helps with that. The movement practice of Chinese medicine would be our Qigong and our Tai Chi and the martial arts that are birthed from those places. But because there is this very beautiful connection with the connective tissue of the body, the fascia, we've created this lovely intersection between Chinese medicine and helping the qi flow, the current of qi flowing better through those meridian lines. We've then been able to adapt that onto the yin yoga practice and make that through line. But here's where it gets really tricky. So most people in a yin yoga teacher training would be learning about five element acupuncture or five element theory, or they will be learning about the traditional Chinese medicine theory, the yin yang organ pairing theory. They themselves are two schools of thought, but there are many, many others. Let's talk about the yin-yang organ pairing system. This is where we've got a yin organ and a yang organ, and they form a pair. The pairing is there because those two organs within the organs themselves, but also the wider, broader function of what those organs do, they have a relatability to one another. But also, if you track the lines in the body where those meridians flow, at some point, let's use the heart and the small intestine meridian, for example, the heart meridian will start up into the armpit on both sides of the body. And because it's a yin channel, it travels down the inside, the yin side of the arm, and it comes all the way down to the end of the little finger. Its yang paired channel is the small intestine, which starts where the heart channel ends in this example. And because it's a yang organ, it travels up the yang side of the arm, which is the back, and it travels all the way up the shoulder, and it ends up migrating up onto the face. So physiologically, these particular meridians will make a loop together. So that's one of the reasons why they are paired. If a very enthusiastic yin yoga teacher who's just learned about this information, they might be really inspired to create a sequence that encompasses those two channels, so the inside and the outside of the arm, and they might start talking about the heart and the heart's functions in a Chinese medicine framework. So we've got things like governing blood and controlling sweat. We might talk about the emotions, joy in the heart or joylessness. We might talk about the complexion. And what they may be doing is reeling off a lot of signs and symptoms in the body. And this can start to get a little bit tricky, because if you are a participant in that class and you don't really know anything about Chinese medicine, but you're suddenly being told, you've suddenly been given a list, a new list to think about of what the heart does, or a new list to think about what the small intestine does, or a new list to think about what the liver does, and you're doing a particular sequence for those organs, without it being necessarily said in the class, although maybe it is being said, you might start to think, oh, if I stretch out the inside of my arm, that's going to be good for my heart. Maybe that'll help with my high blood pressure. Or maybe that'll help with some other Western disease that you've got. Maybe that'll help for my palpitations. Maybe, and then these links begin to get made between the functions that are attributed to that organ in Chinese medicine and the kinds of Western diseases that we probably know a lot better from our Western medicine framework. Can you already see how that can be a little bit tricky? So the kinds of things that I think can come up for people in that, let's use the lower back for a good example. If you were teaching a yin yoga sequence that was inspired by the bladder and kidney meridians of the body, because they make a pair, they have a really strong connection to the spine, and there's a section of that that's running through the lower back. If you were creating a sequence for those organs, you'd probably be doing at least some forward folds in that sequence, and you might be doing some back bends in that sequence. And typically, for people that spend a lot of time in forward folds, we're going to be targeting the deep connective tissue of the lower back, the thoracolumbar fascia of the lower back. And this is a very, very dense diamond of tissue at the lower back, which in my experience doesn't always get the yin exercise that it needs. My thinking around that is that people are usually told that they have to strengthen up their lower back or strengthen up their core to strengthen up their lower back, but we don't often get encouraged to stretch and stress that tissue in the way that yin yoga teaches us it needs. So what could happen in that particular class for somebody is the teacher's talking about all these things to do with the kidneys, or they might be talking about things to do with the bladder, and we're doing, say, two or three forward folds. Now, often that thoracolumbar connective tissue can take a long time to rebound. So it might even take half the class after you've done caterpillar or butterfly for that dull aching feeling in the lower back to start to subside. But what people will usually do when they feel a sensation that they're not sure about is to think that something's gone wrong. So if they've had somebody in the class reeling off all of these kidney signs and symptoms or kidney functions, and they've been told, we're doing a sequence for kidneys, and they go home that night and they go to bed and their lower back is still lingering with an aching sensation, or maybe it lingers into the next day, some of those people will think, oh, there must be something wrong with my kidneys. That gets tricky. And we don't want people to be worried about their body. We don't want people to have to kind of take in information and then connect all these different dots and see how they measure up according to these new systems of health that they're being given in their yin yoga class. It's just too confusing. So I think we just have to be really, really careful about cause and effect language, or getting inspired by the ideas from Chinese medicine and then bringing them to the yin yoga space in a very reductionist way. Because when we look through the lens of Chinese medicine at health and the body, it's not always as simple as saying one thing equates to another thing. So it's not always that I've eaten one kind of food and that's created this problem, or I've had this kind of emotion happen to me and that's equated to this problem. It's much more of a holistic environment in there where things can influence another. So from a practitioner perspective, we're often called this detective because we're trying to figure out what has influenced what and how has that spiraled into a whole different story inside somebody's body. Where am I going to begin correcting that? Do I start with the food? Do we start with the acupuncture? What is the actual issue that somebody has come in with? So if we're thinking about yin yoga, and I like to talk about it in terms of interventions, if the Chinese medicine practitioner has got diet advice, lifestyle advice, mental health advice, as well as their needles and their herbs as their interventions, in yin yoga, the main interventions that we're working with are the actual stress that we're placing on the tissues of the body because of the shapes that we're putting the body in and we're spending time there, and also the way that we use our breathing. And we really can't undervalue how important the breathing is. And so that's kind of a subsector of the kinds of things we might see on offer in a Chinese medicine practice. So it's a little bit more limited. And we don't have needles. We can't be as specific as the acupuncturist who might have just the right spot. And with very clever selection of where they put that needle, that might be the spot that reduces the headache, or that might be the spot that reduces the shoulder pain, because they're also working with their own alchemy, with the needles and the body. So if we're putting the body into a shape, such as half saddle, for example, it's one of my favorites. The target area is the front of the leg, the quad. Depending on where that leg is pointing, you might get a bit of the inner thigh. You might get that spreading feeling up along the front of the body, and depending on what you're doing with your arms. It's very broad. So we're getting this broad surface area of the body being targeted. But because of that tensioning of the tissue, we are playing with the fascia in the body. And the amazing work of people like Dr. Hiroshi Motoyama has quantified for us that the meridians do run through that connective tissue. So that is a big connection that yin yoga and Chinese medicine have made. We're playing in the same playground. And the pulling of the tissue, we would call stressing, that tensile application of stress that's applied to a target area in the shape, is a mechanism of playing with the fluid that is sitting in that connective tissue. So when that tissue is pulled, it changes the chemistry of what is being held there. The same kind of thing happens when you apply pressure to the body. That's what's happening in massage. You know, if someone's really tight and they've got a whole bunch of congestion in their connective tissue, and you've got a really good masseuse that applies pressure and a very particular speed in the way that they run their finger or their elbow or their knee or one other body part they're utilizing on you across that tissue, and then they say that you've got a release, it's the pressure that is kind of changing the state of that fluid and releasing it. In yin yoga, we call that moment the melt. When you then come out of the yin yoga shape and you come into a rebound, I hope you get to come into a rebound because that's very important, that tissue is no longer under any stress. So for me, that's the definition of a rebound. Doesn't matter really what position you move into. Let's just say if you've come out of that half saddle, that the front of the quad is now no longer under any stress. So if you find it helpful to slide a bolster under the knees or curl up on your side or even roll onto your belly, they are all perfectly great places to rebound as long as that area gets to rest. It's in a restful position. And in that restful position is what we have been told is the place where fluid distribution reoccurs. So if the fluid has been kind of moved and changed because of the pulling in the shape, then the rebounding also affects the way that fluid can redistribute itself along that superficial connective tissue. So because of that, I think that in a yin yoga practice, we are exploring the movement of fluids and therefore the movement of qi in regions of tissue in the body. So of all those things that I said before that a Chinese medicine practitioner is going to be looking at and seeing if they can work with qi, blood, jing, shen, yin, fluids. Yin yoga is primarily working with the qi and the fluids, I believe. So the qi and the yin of the body. So after a yin yoga class, if it's been quite well-rounded and you've got to explore some of the really big regions of the body, the glutes, the quads, the side of the body, maybe the front of the chest, we will have moved the fluid in the body around quite a bit. You may even find after the practice that you feel a little bit thirsty. Qi governs all movement. That's what we're taught as one of the fundamental principles of qi. So if movement is being pulled and pushed across the tissues because of our manual application of tensile pressure and then releasing that, it is actually qi that is moving the fluid because qi governs the movement of all things. So it's sort of like a little subsystem of Chinese medicine because those are the primary things that we're really working with. And I feel, and I have always felt this way about other styles of yoga where medical claims or prescriptive outcomes are being stated in the class about what will happen to you if you do this posture this way. I think we just need to be really mindful of our language. Because what if we get somebody in the practice who has got quite an advanced liver condition or quite an advanced kidney condition? Maybe there's a cancer or there's some cirrhosis or there's something that's quite advanced that's going on in the body. And they're really, really hopeful that a holistic practice at this stage in that disease condition is going to help turn things around for them. It would be quite easy for someone in that situation to come to a practice, someone guides them through a liver sequence, for example, and talks about all these different things that the liver does in Chinese medicine. They may start to make a connection that, oh, if I just do this liver sequence every day, maybe this will help to heal my liver. And look, miracles can happen. Maybe it does. But we've got to be really careful about what we say, because that's a little misleading, in my humble opinion. Or, like the lower back connection before, they may do a liver sequence, which is always going to have lunges in it because the liver channel runs through the front of the hips, and people always associate dragon with getting angry with their liver, and their liver's not healthy because they get angry in dragon. Not the case. Dragons are strong. They can make you feel all sorts of emotions. But this person that's got an advanced condition in their liver might do that every day, thinking wishfully, hoping wishfully that that's going to cure them of something. And it may not. I also think that to go to a yin yoga class, for me anyway, is often a place where I want to drop in and receive. I don't necessarily want it to be too educational. Too much information coming in, too intellectual, because that just keeps me in my intellectual part of the brain. Whereas I really love that feeling where my brain waves are dropping down, I'm floating around in my breath, I have different kinds of memories and scenes floating through my mind, and it gets really quite dreamy and relaxing. I don't necessarily want to be peppered with information about organs and seasons and all things TCM. So I teach a yin yoga teacher training, and I always start the Chinese medicine section by giving a disclaimer. You don't have to include this in your yin yoga classes. It's not a requirement of yin yoga that you have to make the connection with Chinese medicine. I said, you might never ever speak about meridians. You might never speak about the liver, and that's perfectly fine. And people think to me, I thought that's what it was all about. I thought you had to. Well, you don't have to do anything. You do it your way. Because I really did. I think the thing was, I could see how easily I could confuse people, or they would go away and just start making these other connections between the stuff that they did know well and this new information. And it just felt like it was messy for me. So I would rarely speak about that in the classes. What I found more interesting in terms of themes and concepts was to try and speak to things in the class that I knew would be relatable for everybody. So the kinds of things that I found myself drawn to would be how most people come to class and they've got stress in their life, or they might have a difficult time dropping into their body, or they might have some unresolved conflict with people. So sort of teetering on that line of inviting them into their self-care realm, inviting them into inquiry about what's going on in their mind, giving them permission to just be there with the things that are coming up for them on that day, instead of bringing in a whole different sort of class structure where those things that haven't had a chance to rise up for them in the day get pushed to the side because there's just all this new information coming in. Because I personally think that people don't get a lot of opportunities for the things that have been pushed down to come up and be felt and breathed into and allowed to have passed through them. And a yin yoga class is a special place for that. Doesn't mean it's comfortable. Doesn't mean that it's pleasant. But for me, it's like a sifting place. So I always sort of liked to think about the theming that I would do in a yin yoga class as a score, much like you would have a score of music. So the score might simply be a little concept, and then I would try and find ways for that to be relatable to the breath, relatable to the felt senses. It might have a very abstract connection to Chinese medicine. For example, if we went back to that idea of a kidney and a bladder sequence, I might simply bring in some ideas about the water element. The breath like a body of water. You know, the inhales and the exhales being like waves. Something that is just a little bit more abstract than reeling off the kidneys do this and the bladder does this, and here are some signs of kidney yang deficiency, and here's what you might experience if you've got kidney yin deficiency, and it becoming a little bit too medical. And then in and around that, I would like to give people some space to just be with themselves. Because different things are going to float up in there. And it's their practice, it's their time to be able to be with themselves, to get to know themselves, to have that self-awareness come up and be seen by them, growing into themselves in those spaces. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that you can most definitely get excited about learning things to do with Chinese medicine. It's so fascinating. And I would never want to clip your enthusiasm for learning new things because it's fabulous. But just be really careful about the way that you speak to it in a yin yoga class and be a little bit more open-ended. Ask a few more open-ended questions rather than coming in and making absolute statements about it or speaking about your sequence in a cause and effect way with what you have just learnt about the gallbladder or what you have just learnt about the lungs and the large intestine. So that the patients and the students that are working in these spaces with us, they have a chance to just notice how the practice affects them. So if you asked a student at the end of the class, or if you sprinkled this question throughout the class, you know, over the next 24 hours, just see if you can pay attention to how the practice today has had an influence on you. You know, what kinds of things are you feeling in your body? Has it had an impact on your mind? Has it had an impact on your energy levels? Not that any of those things are right or wrong, but just to notice. And they may come back to you in 6 months' time and say, you know what? I used to get terrible migraines all the time, or I used to have terrible insomnia. And something about what we've been doing in the yin yoga practice has alleviated those, or I've only had one migraine. Because we most definitely are having an influence on fluid and qi moving through the body. We just can't get ahead of that and be too prescriptive about what outcomes people should expect because of the sequences that we've done. I hope that makes sense. So keep it open, keep it broad, keep it inclusive, and ask people to notice for themselves what they're feeling. And that's all the time that there is today for this chat. I hope that this has started to get you asking some questions of yourself, or thinking about the kinds of ways that you've been holding space in your classes, or thinking about the kinds of things that you've heard in your classes, and how you might make some changes.
To view the show notes from this episode and to subscribe, visit drkarinasmith.com/podcast. And don't forget to check out Karina's online courses at drkarinasmith.com/courses and use promo code SAVE10 to get 10% off.